morning. It's good to be here this morning. As we always said, if you would, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Have you ever seen somebody that was going through some kind of burden or needed some help or going through some kind of distress in their life, and you really loved the person, and or maybe you even went into your employer, you know, when the first day of your job or whatever, and you ever asked anybody, what do you want me to do? I felt encouraged today, this morning, every person I ask, you know, to serve in a public way, and ask them what you want to do, it seemed like they all said, what do you want me to do? It shows that we're willing to do something, but especially when you're willing to do something for God. But can you imagine meeting our Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face when he was here on earth and he asked you that? What do you want me to do? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29-30. It tells us that, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thy son of David. Now here, verse 29, and it kind of reads that I just said as they went out of Jericho, and it told us that a great multitude followed him. And I can imagine how my side was such a great person and great man that he drew the crowds. He was such a great wonder. And they followed him, and it says that, behold, there was two blind men sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus walked by, the verses I just read, it said that they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. Even the blind people knew who Jesus was. He was such a great person. And then it goes on and says that the multitude warned the men to be quiet, but they cried out all the more. And we see on further down in verse 32. Verse 32 says, so Jesus stood still and called to them and said, what do you want me to do? Here he's asking them, what do you want me to do for you? Now look at verse 33. Verse 33, they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Verse 33 right here tells us specifically these men were in their request. When they said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Verse 34 states the Lord's reactions and the results to their request being granted. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Okay, now keeping that little scenario in our mind, turn with me over to Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Here we see that these verses give the account of the 10 lepers. These leper requests of Jesus was very much the same as the two blind men's requests were. They wanted to be healed of the affliction that was tormenting their body. As it just said here in verses 12 and 13, is that as he entered into a certain village, he met these 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Even they knew who Jesus was. Even they knew that Jesus was the Master, and they needed his mercy. That's the same thing each and every one of us need today. We need the mercy of God because we're not going to be perfect. As hard as we try, the devil's going to wedge into us somehow or another. We need to pray and have God to take care of us and give us the strength that we need. But here it says, when Jesus saw him, he told them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, don't say he healed them. Didn't say he healed them and told them to go show the priest what I did. He said, go and show thyself to the priest. So he gives something for them to do. They still got to be obedient to God. Same as each and every one of us. We're told what to do. We're told what the reward's going to be. But anyway, he told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Do you think if they said, we don't have anything to show to the priest, you know, we still the same as we were when we got here. Do you think they would have been healed? Same thing with us. If we're not baptized, if we don't do our best of our ability to obey God's word, we're not going to be saved. We're not going to be cleansed from what the affliction is on our bodies. But anyway, it says that as they were going, they were cleansed. One was a Samaritan, and when he saw he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice, glorifying God, fell down at Jesus' feet and gave thanks. Now, verse 17 states that, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where's the other 9 at? When Jesus helps us through a problem, or helps us through a sickness, or whatever he helps us through, which one are we? Are we in the group of that one that came back and glorified him and thanked him? Or are we in the group of the 9 that just went on and enjoyed and glorified ourselves? We see the reactions of these two different situations of people having a priceless personal need fulfilled. And we see here that the two blind men, upon having their eyesight restored, they followed Jesus immediately. Only one of the 10 lepers returned to give thanks and glorify God for their request being granted. Now, the teaching of the scriptures, the two examples alone, is noteworthy. Can you see in your mind's eyes, in our imaginations, what it be like to have the only begotten Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, asking you face to face what you want him to do for you? But we could think of all kind of stuff, couldn't we? Are we asking for a better financial situation? Are we asking for a nicer car, nicer fishing boat? Are we asking him for wisdom to understand his word? Are we asking him for a healing of some kind of body infliction of illness? That list could probably go on and on. But here enough to get an audience with Jesus Christ when he was here on earth had to be the fulfillment of everyone's greatest desire in the first century. Because they were told crowds followed him constantly. Jesus appeared before many after his glorious resurrection. On one occasion, he appeared to two men traveling to the village of Emmaus. They were talking and reasoning with each other as Jesus drew near and went with them. Now Luke chapter 24, verse 16. Luke 24 and 16 says that, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. As they walked along, Jesus asked him what they were conversing about. What are you talking about? And why were you looking so sad? Luke records begins beginning at Moses, Jesus explained to them in all the scriptures the things that concerned him. Now, Luke 24, verse 31 and 32. Luke 24, 31 and 32 tells us, then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sights. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with us, while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? What kind of feeling do we get when we start reading God's word? Is it so intriguing and interesting that we just want to keep on reading and reading and reading? Or are we sitting there in mind, okay, I know it's my responsibility and I'm supposed to read so many verses a day. We need to read God's word diligently. Now, a lot of times the old devil tries to get on you and makes you tired and sleepy when you start reading it. But we need to start reading. As it says here, a glorious description of Jesus Christ is revealed to us in Colossians. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Over to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and through 18. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. We see here in verse 15 says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Let's go into verses. Other verses tell us that all things were created for him in heaven and on earth, and that he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, verse 18 culminates by declaring, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. That one of a kind, it takes your breath away. So when we wake up in the mornings, we need to thank God for allowing us to have another day to go and do his work. We need to pray and ask God to be with each and every one of us so we go out throughout the day. There's a couple of things we need to pray. We need to pray and ask him to help us make it safely through the day. We need to pray and ask him to help us recognize every opportunity we have of spreading his word. But most of all, we need to pray and ask him to give us the strength, because a lot of times you don't really need the strength, to show his love to everyone you come in contact with. Do you love your children? Do you love your coworkers? Pretty easy. Do you love your enemies? In other words, do you love everybody you come in contact with every day? Some of them are pretty hard to get along with, aren't they? That's when we need to pray and ask God, help me to show your love. And saying show my love, it says show your love for this person, because and we're just told that all things are through him. We need to live life with what would my answer be if Christ asked me what he could do for me. We notice that these two blind men had told him straight point what they needed, and they received it. We were just told that they showed thankfulness for it. They praised him. They gave him thanks for it. And then we're saying that the 10 leopards, they asked for cleansing of their body to be restored. He gave it to them. But only one was thankful. That probably runs through our mind with this human nature. Well, those other nines, I would just give them a double dose of leprosy because they wasn't thankful for it. But our God is a loving God. We need to put ourselves in those places. God's word, he has given his written word. It's no surprise. I had some people tell me that my town is a speed trap and need to be done something about it. I said, well, I got a hard time understanding why you call it a speed trap. It's flat land. Speed limit's the same speed limit, 70 miles an hour all the way through on 95. You know we got patrolmen. You know their job is to sit out there on 95 and give you a ticket if you're in the wrong. They're in the wide opening. Where's your trap? Your trap's usually when you 70 miles an hour and it drops down to 50 with some tree lines for the policemen sitting behind the trees with no speed limit signs. Same thing with God's word. He give us his written word. He tells us what not to do as well as telling us what to do. But he also goes a step further because he loved us. He tells us what's going to happen to us if we don't obey him. The same here with cleansing of these men. They had to be obedient to God. We have to be obedient to God. And in closing, what is it that we need Jesus Christ to do for us today? I'll tell you what we need. First off, we need him to open our eyes that we might see the wondrous things within the law of God. We need to be granted knowledge. We need to be granted the wisdom. We need to be granted the understanding according to the word of God. Now, not according to what we want to know about in life, but we need to understand about the word of God. When I'm out working on stuff and I can't figure it out, used to I'd have to take it and pay somebody to fix it or tell me how to fix it. Now I have the internet. I can Google something, how to do this or how to do that. And it'll pretty much give me step by step on how to do it. It'll even go even a little further and give me somebody's opinion on what's even the easier and a better way to do stuff. That's the same thing with God's work. When we are facing a situation in life, and I need to know, Lord, how should I handle this situation? Simple. Go back to God's word, because there's a great possibility someone has already experienced something close to what you're going through. We can see what happened to them when they obeyed God, and we can also see what happened to them when they didn't obey God. So use God's word to help us, guide us through everything that we do. When we get up in the morning, before we go somewhere, I'm sure every one of us, some of us more than we should, stand in front of a mirror and make sure our hair and everything is straight. Now, we need to, especially when you leave out of the church building this morning, I encourage you every time you walk out, look into God's word and see if you're the same person that you was when you walked into that building. If you was, something's wrong. We need to pay more attention. We need to study God's word, because every one of us should be a different person after we come in and get renewed and encouraged with God's word. We need to be granted, as I said, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding. But we also need our steps to be directed by God's word. We need our sins forgiven so that our relationship to God can be restored because of the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Jesus Christ is the highest expression of love and concern for our spiritual holiness. With a vast eternity in view, what do you want him to do for you? Maybe you need to be baptized, become a child of God. If you've already been baptized, maybe you've stepped out of his way and you need the prayers and the encouragement of the congregations. Whatever it may be, we ask you to come forward and we stand now and sing our song of invitation. Song 6.